All about it. Everything you ever want to know about getting stuck in traffic.
Okay.
You have family members that can send it.
He's a New Yorker, right?
Yes. Perek Achadosar of the Gvuras Hashem. Okay, we're good. So, we're now at a new stage of the Gvuras Hashem. And that is the discussion about why Klal Yisrael went into Golos is done. The original question was, why did Klal Yisrael go into Golos? So the Maral brought reasons that Rishonim had given, and he rejected them. He went back to what the Gemara says, and he explained what Chazal said. And he spoke about ideas of, you know, building of Emunah. He spoke about why Klal Yisrael deserved to not be powerful, to be nishtabe, to be subordinate. He spoke about ideas about why Klal Yisrael needed to go through a process, that there was sort of like an inherent weakness to begin with. Avinu Bamin Echad. He explained all kinds of things as to why Klal Yisrael went into Golos. And that was why he went through the whole parsha of the Bris Vein HaBesarim, the covenant, where it was predicted and promised that the Jewish people would go into Golos. So he's finished that. And in Perek Yud, what we learned not last week, which was Shavuos, but 2 weeks ago. So he in the first half, he just explained why it was 400 years, four generations. And then in the second half, he says, okay, we've explained to you what Chazal say about the Golios. And the truth is, last week I said to you, I didn't understand why he did something in Perek Yud Aleph, in Perek Yud. But now, after having properly learned Perek Yud Aleph for today's shir, I understand completely why he did what he did in Perek Yud. The second part of Perek Yud, he said, and don't tell me that they went into Golos because of Yosef, because of the story of Yosef and his brothers. Because Fakert, as I explained to you before, which he did explain before, because there were those who argued that the reason we went into Golos is because the brothers sold Yosef. He says, no, the brothers sold Yosef because they had to go into Golos. In other words, there was Eitza Amukah Shalaisa Eitzadik, because there was already a decree in place that the Jewish people would go into Golos, so the way it happened was through the Mechiras Yosef. And to whatever degree, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is manipulating the events, because of that, that's why Mechiras Yosef occurred. And that's what he explained much earlier. And he came back to it in Perek Yud, and he said that Farkert, that was what Yosef was trying to be merames, trying to hint to Yaakov. You know, he said this beautiful medrash, where he says that when he sent to his father 10 chamayrim carrying the good of Mitzrayim, and 10 asinais, female donkeys, carrying bread for his father for the way, so he says that what he's trying to explain to him was that the 10 chamayrim refer to the 10 brothers who sent him down to Mitzrayim, and he's trying to tell them, he's trying to show his father that just like the chamor didn't realize what he was doing, so too the shvatim were just doing their things to get him down there, and they didn't have any idea what they were doing. The donkey doesn't know what it's carrying, the brothers didn't know what they were doing. And he also adds very, very beautifully, and he says that there were two purposes, two things that the Jewish people get out of Mitzrayim. One was they went immediately to have their sustenance, and that was the 10 asinais that were carrying the bor of alechem umazayin, that were carrying the basic bread. And then there were the 10 chamerim, which are the male ones, which is more tzura than chamer, and that was because the Bnei Yisrael would ultimately get tuv Mitzrayim. They would take out of Mitzrayim all of the wealth of Mitzrayim, not just that they would get a little handout so that they'd be able to survive, which is how they originally went, but in the end we would dominate Mitzrayim, we would take out all of the good of Mitzrayim, we would be the Tzura of Mitzrayim. So those were the two things that Klal Yisrael would take out of Mitzrayim by virtue of the Ten Chamayr. So this was his drasha. So I said, and I don't understand exactly why he didn't say this back then, that this was all part of his idea, that that the Mechiras Yosef was a result of it, wasn't the cause of it. However, now we can see in Perek Yud Aleph why he did this, because what he's moving into here in this next section is he's going to talk about not why the Golus occurred, but actually how the Golus occurred. And we'll have a couple of intervening prakim before he's going to open up the Chumash Shemais and start reading about how the Golus actually happened. But we know how the Golus started. And the way the Golus did start is through Mechiras Yosef. So I think when he goes back to this and explains this is to segue into talking about how the Golus happened through Mechiras Yosef. It's not that the primary purpose of bringing it is not to reject something, because he already rejected it. That wasn't the cause. But he goes back to it and say, let's look at where Mechiras Yosef fits in. As I explained, it's not the cause, it's the playing out of the Golus, and he added something to understanding of how it plays out. But now in Pirkei Aleph he's going to focus on, so why was this the way that it actually plays out?
What was the cause? Going back to what we said by Avram Avinu, by the Rispin of Sarim?
The cause was, like the three reasons which are given in the Gemara, things which happened in Avram Avinu, that Avram Avinu did. Whether because he took the people into the army, Talmid HaChachamim, whether because he didn't bring the Geirim Tachas Kan V'Ashchina, or whether because of Bama'ida Kiroshena. And the Maral explained the structure of those issues, whether they're all underscoring a certain weakness in the emunah of Avram Avinu that needed to be shored up, whether they're all underscoring something where Klal Yisrael did not exercise a control that they needed to exercise, a strength that they needed to exercise, so therefore they became subordinate themselves. You know, different general approaches which he gave, as we discussed in the previous.
But he has no problem that there's a hint of no bechira chashus here, or is it they're doing it and it's just agav?
When the brothers sell?
Yeah, it's like they're
no,
doing
he's not,
it.
He's not dealing with this here, right? And to some degree, of course, there's a mixture in this story of free choice and non-free choice. It was destined to happen to the extent that Yosef says, look, this had to happen, and I'm not going to resent you for it, I'm not going to be upset at you for it, and you have to see in it a bigger deal. This is not just a bickering between brothers. But at the same time, they consciously made their own personal choices for which they would be completely culpable. Completely culpable. But that's between God and them. That's not Yosef's concern, because he was going anyway.
This sounds like an accidental murderer. He's the one that...
I keep on, you know, it says you're not supposed to make sure your house is safe, make sure your roof has a railing around it. Why? Because the one who has to fall will fall from it. He was destined to fall anyway, but he shouldn't fall from your roof, right? In other words, you still have bechira to stay out of it. Perek Yud Aleph. Acher shegozer agzer azal shel Avram. So the Maral here discusses, so why did it happen through the sale of Yosef? And he brings a medrash, a well-known medrash. The medrash says, Rab Rachya Amar B'Shem Rab Yuda Bar Siman Moshe L'Para Shoyumay Shanaisa L'Makailin. Right? It's a really, when I say a well-known medrash, it's really, you know, the comment which Chazal make, which is that it would have been perfectly appropriate for Yaakov Avinu to go down to Mitzrayim in iron chains, in shackles. It was a gzeira that the Jewish people were supposed to be on to Golus, so let the decree happen in the starkest and clearest way. That's the way gzeiras would usually work. However, he says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't want it to happen that way. And he says, a mushel. There was a parah, a cow, that was being taken, dragged, so to speak, to the makalin, to the meat market. Right? And, you know, that's cow heaven, or whatever you would call it, the cow's pearly gates. It didn't want to go. A cow knows where it's going. They know where it's going. If you ever go to a shlachtais, they are not oblivious. They smell it. They sense it. They know what's happening. And the cow didn't want to go. So what did it do? Ma'asu. Well, mashu es benolifa now. They took the baby of the cow. And they took the baby ahead. The baby was easier to bring. And the cow, even though it didn't want to go, but it couldn't resist following after its child. Kach, says the Medrash, Roy Hoya Yaakov Lorez L'Mitzrayim B'Shal Shaloy Shal Barzel. Yaakov Avinu would have been appropriate for him to be taken down in shackles to Mitzrayim. Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem said, I don't want to do it that way. Why? Listen to this. B'ni b'chayrihu, b'ani neig b'minei b'zayin. First of all, he's my b'nei ben b'chayr. He's my favorite, my first son. I don't want to treat him with disrespect. I don't want him to be dragged down there. And second of all, v'im litein b'libay shal parai, and if I should put something into the hearts of parai, the parai will invite him down to Mitzrayim, eini meridei b'pumbi, then it's not clear that I'm bringing him down to Mitzrayim. It's not public that I'm bringing him down to Mitzrayim. Ela reini meishach es b'nai lefanav u'yerid achrav al karachay sholei b'tevas. The way I'm going to do it is, I'm going to send his son ahead, and that way he will come down, even though he doesn't want to. V'hayrid es hashchina l'mitzrayim imay. And his son will take the shechina down to Mitzrayim with him, which will mean that it will be public that I'm doing this, that it's me that's there. Rav Pinchas ben Rav Simon, how do you know that the Shechina went down with him? Because it says Hashem was with Yosef. That's the Medrash. So, again, what are the possibilities? There is one possibility to bring him down in chains. That is rejected because it would be humiliating. There's another possibility to bring him down in honor, which is just an invitation from Paro, a nice, benign honor. Paro invites this dignitary of Canaan to come down to Mitzrayim because of the famine. But that would not show the hand of Hashem sufficiently. So Hashem did this thing where it wasn't brought down by Paro, it was brought down by Yosef. Yosef went ahead. Yaakov felt compelled to follow Yosef. And when Yosef went ahead, he took the Shechina with him. So therefore it became an act of Gilui Shechina when he went down to Mitzrayim. That's the Medrash. So comes along the Maral, Kedarkai, and he says what he talks about what this Medrash is talking about. What should have happened here? So the first thing is that there was a sense of impending doom and difficulty of the Jewish people going down to Mitzrayim. They were afraid. There was something ahead of them on the head of Yaakov Avinu, right? Avraham Avinu, he went there to Israel. There was a famine. He went down to Mitzrayim in a certain sense. I wouldn't say carefree, right? He had to have this plan with Sarah and everything else, but it wasn't like he felt that he was being, you know, in some dramatic way pulled out of Eretz Yisrael for keeps. But Yaakov Avinu knew that there was a gzeira, there was a decree of Golus. So when there was a famine, right, he stayed in Eretz Yisrael. He sent his children, he had to get food. He sent his children, he stayed in Eretz Yisrael. He stayed in Eretz Yisrael. He was not running. Beat the decree? I don't know. Delay the decree? Maybe. Right? No rush. No rush. They're fulfilling Ger Yizaracha with all kinds of Rashis, you know, with since the birth of Yitzchak. There's no rush to go down to Mitzrayim. So he says that the Maral says that even if they didn't know consciously, but they sensed it. Hamazlam Yoda. And the Mazel tells them where to go and where not to go. The Gemara brings the Gemara Megillah. The same kind of a thing about it, that by Hanani, Mishael, Azariah, they were afraid. They didn't know what they were afraid of. They didn't know what they didn't see exactly, but still they were afraid. So therefore, he wasn't just going to go dilly dally down to Mitzrayim, right? If you're going to take the cow on a walk in the woods, the cow will come along happily. But the cow knows that the makkelin, that the market spells disaster for him, so he ain't going to come just Azai, you know, simply. So what will be able to bring him down to Mitzrayim?
When he did go, Hashem appeared and said, "Lo tira, don't be
afraid." And he had to tell him, Hashem had to tell him, exactly, don't be afraid of going down to Mitzrayim. Al tira midam Mitzrayim. Right. So, therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Bashkochasai did this thing, that he had Yosef be the one who was in Mitzrayim. And just lahavdil, like when the cow sees the child, the cow says, "Makoilin, shmakoilin, I'm going to my child." So when Yaakov, you know, knew that Yosef was a Mitzrayim, in a certain sense, he threw caution to the winds, and he was going there to see Yosef. And what's this Hashgacha Niflah? And so the Medrash is saying there were certain things that Hashem wanted to happen as part of Golos Mitzrayim, and certain things that Hashem didn't want to happen as part of Golos Mitzrayim. So he engineered it in a way to show the Hashgacha Niflah, you know, to show the way things would be done right for Klal Yisrael. So the easy way, like the easy way with the cow, is to just take it, grab its thing, and pull it into the marketplace. Right now, in the case of the cow, they don't want to do that because it's a pain. In the case of Yaakov Avinu, it wasn't that it was a pain, but it was, that's a humiliating way for the cow. The cow is fighting and screaming and pushing. And for Yaakov Avinu to be dragged down to Mitzrayim, Shal Shalos, goes without saying, it would be a terrible, terrible humiliation to covet Yaakov Avinu, to covet Yisrael. And so, that was off the table. That was off the table. You may say, rightfully, that the Jewish people in Mitzrayim were not exactly dignified. At once Golos Mitzrayim, once Golos Mitzrayim took hold, we were hurt and humiliated beneath the hands of the Mitzrim. We were lowered there in Mitzrayim. But Yaakov Avinu, right, when this Golos had to start, Yaakov Avinu never experienced a lowering of his covet. And even in Geulas Mitzrayim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was very careful that it should end by the honor of the Jewish people being restored. So, two obvious illustrations of this. One is what Chazal say, why did Hashem say that they shouldn't leave until the morning? And the Yetzias Mitzrayim was ready to happen when the plague of the firstborn happened at the stroke of midnight. Why didn't Klal Yisrael just leave then? Says the Chazal, Pikur Rabbi Eliezer, Hashem didn't want that people should say that Klal Yisrael had to sneak out at night. Klal Yisrael is leaving Be'etzem Hayom Hazeh in the high daytime, Biyad Rama, with a high hand. Their honor has to be restored. And the second thing that we've talked about a little bit, and we'll probably end up talking about more, is the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made sure that Klal Yisrael left with Ruchosh Gadol, with payment. And the idea behind that payment, as is illustrated in the Gemara in Sanhedrin by Gevi'ah ben Pasisa, was that they'd been taken advantage of for all these years of shibud, of slavery, but now the Egyptians had to understand that they had not rightfully taken advantage of them, and therefore they had to pay them reparations, which would be to restore the dignity that they had robbed them of for all these years that they had enforced the slavery upon them. So therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was worried about the dignity of the Jewish people going in, and he was worried about the dignity of the Jewish people going out. There's no way to be a dignified slave during the slavery. But Yaakov Avinu didn't have to experience it, and even the Jewish people, when the slavery is over, efforts can be made to restore the covenant of Israel. Remember, we are B'nai B'chayrei of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that's one very beautiful thing to realize here in all of this. You know, you can ask from other chapters of Jewish history, but again, it's even in the story of Mitzrayim that you have terrible humiliation of the Jewish people. The Sarei Misim, L'man Anaisai B'Sivloisam, right, the stories we read about what happened there with the Mitzri Makish Ivri and his wife and so on and so forth, terribly humiliating things happen to the Jewish people. But when it has to happen, it has to happen. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't want it to happen. So he, you know, before, after, what's restored is not just the, you know, the freedom of the Jewish people, but the honor of the Jewish people. That's one. Okay. So Yaakov Avinu could have gone down to Mitzrayim by an invitation from Paro. Hashem wanted to be honorable and nice. So Paro could again have sent a message that, come Gesundheit right. Why does it have to be with this whole story with Yosef that this comes? It couldn't be some other way that this would happen. But he says, no. It has to be mefursam, has to be bepumbi. That was the language of the Medrash. It has to be public. Roy shetegzeres Hashem Yisbarach mefursemes lakoel ki ugeizeru makayim. The gzer of Hashem Yisbarach should be public. should be visible to everybody, that he decrees and he makes it happen. And if Pare would have sent after him to come, it would not have been so public that Hashem is the one who is making the decree. Now that he went down through Yosef, which was the story of Yosef, is an incredible story, an incredible gilui of Kved Hashchina, incredible revelation of Hashem's presence. So then it was clear that it was HaKadosh Baruch Hu who was making all of these things happen. Okay, so let's dwell on this a little bit. And we've talked about the ideas. I don't remember where how much we talked about in Gvuras Hashem. But Geula has to be Gilui Shechina, has to be the revelation of Hashem's presence. Golus, in a certain sense, is of course the hiding of Hashem's presence. But as the Chazal are indicating here, to some degree, even going into Golos has to be seen as the Yad Hashem. It shouldn't just happen by itself. And so in a certain sense, you know, the story of Mitzrayim has, broadly said, two phases. The first phase is the Yosef phase, and the second phase is the Moshe phase. Now the first phase is the Yosef phase, where Yosef goes through great difficulty. He gets sold out to Mitzrayim. He's enslaved in Mitzrayim. In fact, everything which is said, all of it happened to Yosef. You found that, he was certainly sold as an Eved. In Tehillim, he uses the language, Inu bakevel ragle, by Yosef HaTzadik, that he was afflicted. And in Mitzrayim, and of course, he ended up with great wealth and great significant position. And we've talked at different times about how maybe Yosef could have been Yotze the Gzeira for all of Klal Yisrael. It could have all have happened through Yosef. Maybe yes, maybe no. The Maral does not go with that. Maral just sees this as a prelude, that what Yosef experiences is a prelude. Yosef was a dimion of Klal Yisrael, because Klal Yisrael is called Al Shem Yosef, Maral writes later in this perek. And therefore what happens to Klal Yisrael happens to Yosef. That he went in Eved, and then he became the king, and so to Klal Yisrael, they went down as an Eved, and they became a king. And they became the kings over Mitzrayim afterwards. Right? So he just sees it as two tkufos, which one is after the other. Yosef representing Klal Yisrael, but then it happened to happen to Klal Yisrael. And again, but the pattern in any which way should be seen. But what happened with Yosef brought the Jewish people down to Mitzrayim. And what that made it, what really that demonstrated was that the Jewish people going into Golos was as much with the hand of Hashem as the Jewish people coming out of Golos. The Jewish people went into Golos through this series of events that were such clear hashgachas Hashem in this whole drama with Yosef HaTzadik. So it was bepumbi, it was clear that we weren't just being subject to the whims of Pare or to the world, but we were going down there by Gzeras Hashem because of the hand of Hashem. That's a big piece here that Chazal are showing. I would like to just amplify this a little bit. The Medrash suggests that maybe Pare could have just invited Yaakov Avinu down, says the Medrash, but then it wouldn't have been clear that it was through the hand of Hashem. I have to take them down bepumbi, publicly. It has to be clear that it's through my hand. Now, this is not something which ends here. When Klal Yisrael would leave Mitzrayim in the end, what was going to happen? Moshe Rabbeinu goes to Pare, and he says, Pare, let my people go. So what does Hashem do? He hardens the heart of Pare, so that Pare will resist. Why does they have to go through that exercise? Why does that have to happen? Why is it that, you know, even then, so it comes harder and harder, and then Pare says, okay, I'll let them go. And Moshe Rabbeinu says, okay, you let us go. And then Pare says, no, it has to be this much, that much. And then Hashem hardens Pare's heart again. And Moshe Rabbeinu takes off the plague Right, and then Paro hardens his heart. I mean, Moshe Rabbeinu was not a stupid person, right? So he's like, you know, giving away his chips. You know, okay, I'll take it away, and then you'll let us go, right? Right. Not going to let you go. You know, like, what's happening over here? What's happening over here is that what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is doing is he's making darn sure that Paro doesn't let the Jewish people out of Mitzrayim. And that doesn't mean it as simply as I just said it. Of course, Hashem is making sure that Paro doesn't let the Jewish people out of Mitzrayim. What I mean is much more than that, is that when the Jewish people will go out of Mitzrayim, it will not be Paro who let them go out of Mitzrayim. It will not be Paro who let them go out of Mitzrayim. It's going to be HaKadosh Baruch Hu who lets the Jewish people out of Mitzrayim. Moshe Rabbeinu originally goes to Paro and says, do me a favor, my people need to go, they have to serve Hashem. So Hashem makes Paro react by saying, I'm going to make it harder. Right? And remember, we've discussed in the past, and we'll discuss again in Mirat Hashem when we get up to that phase of the story. But why did that happen specifically? Hashem said, oh, now you'll see what I'll do to Paro, that he's going to send you Biyot Chazaka. What does that mean? Why now? Why does it have to wait? Why does it have to get worse before it gets better? Because Moshe Rabbeinu went to Paro and he said, Paro, do me a favor, help us out. And if Paro would have helped them out, then Yitzias Mitzrayim would have been because Paro gave in and let the Jewish people go. Paro says, I'm not letting you go. And in fact, I'm going to make life harder for you. And how am I going to make life harder for you? I'm not going to double your quota. Your quota is going to remain the same. But I used to help you with your quota. I used to give you the straw. Now, you are completely on your own. You have to gather the straw, you have to make the bricks, and you have to produce the same quota. The change, you could say, was a psychological warfare tactic. They used to be helpful to them, and now they're not being helpful to them. But in the world of Atatira, where Hashem says, oh, now that that happened, now I can show you Yitzias Mitzrayim. It's because now it became clear that they weren't going to be sent out by Paro, but they were going to be sent out by Hashem. When Paro invited Yaakov Avinu to come down to Mitzrayim, what did he say to him? He says, don't worry about your stuff. Just come down here. Einchem tzachas al klechem. Leave your stuff behind. Ktuv kol eretz Mitzrayim lachemi. Whatever you want, all the good of Mitzrayim is yours. This land is yours. What did Yaakov Avinu do? He ignored Paro. He came down to Mitzrayim. He brought everything. He brought everything. They brought their sheep, their cattle. They explained that the reason why we're coming is because our business won't prosper over there. It's going to prosper over here. Right? Why is he ignoring Paro? You could say because he's pachim ktanim. No, Yaakov Avinu didn't want to even give up his old mayonnaise jars, right? When he was running away from Esav. But it's more than that. Paro invited him, right? What did the Medrash says here? The Paro invited him down to Mitzrayim. Paro invited him down to Mitzrayim. But Yaakov didn't go places because of Paro. He went places because of Hashem Yisbarach. And so he patently ignores Paro's invitation to come down to Mitzrayim. He comes down to Mitzrayim. He accepts to come down to Mitzrayim, but not on the terms that Paro invited him down to Mitzrayim. He went down to Mitzrayim really when Hashem said to him, and so the revelation goes that way. Yaakov, the Medrash says, the Medrash says, had the Shechina come down with him. We know that because Yaakov Avinu, when Yosef went down to Mitzrayim, the Shechina left him. Again, on a simple level, it's because Yaakov was depressed, so he didn't have the Shechina. Yaakov didn't see the hand of Hashem and all which was going on, so he didn't have the Shechina. Yosef did. But that's the idea. The Shechina is the neighboring presence, the Shachin, the presence of Hashem here on this earth. Yosef felt it with him all the way. And when Yaakov would go down to Mitzrayim, it would actually not be Golus in a certain sense. It would be Geula. That's where he would see the hand of Hashem and seeing Yosef in Mitzrayim. That was part of the Pumbi. To just have it as an invitation from Paro, forget about it. Yaakov Avinu was not going down to Mitzrayim that way. So there's a hashgacha nifla. There's a decree that the Jewish people have to go into Golus. We could have gone down in a way which was humiliating. We could have gone down in a way which was geopolitics. But Hashem wanted us to go in a way which was honorable to us in a way which wasn't geopolitical, but which demonstrated very clearly the hand of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in bringing them down to Mitzrayim.
That was only clear by Kriyas Yamsuf, because Paro still thought he let us out by Makas Becharos. Then he had Chavat.
Yes, it becomes more fully reinforced, absolutely, there. At that time, he thought he still had strings attached that he could control. They'll come back in a few days. So yes, one step after another has to break it all down.
The Bnei Israel have avoided the severity of the affliction, and they acted differently once they struck them.
I believe so. I believe so.
What could they have done?
If they all would have seen the Yad Hashem so clearly, I believe that they wouldn't have had to go through the Golos.
The Shiva.
No. Yeah, that too. But even before that.
When?
The Shvatim didn't see the Yad Hashem in Mechiras Yosef.
Even when they came down to Mitzrayim?
Even when they came down to Mitzrayim.
How could they not see it?
I don't know. Probably because to them Mechiras Yosef was something else. To them, Mechiras Yosef was that they were scared and resentful and jealous of their brother. And they had done it. So to tell them that they didn't do it, that Hashem did it, is harsh. To tell the victim is easier than to tell the one who did it. Perhaps. I don't know. But they didn't see it. V'horaya, they remained, when Yaakov died, they thought that Yosef was going to take revenge on them. Even though Yosef had already explained to them that he had nothing against them. They didn't see it. They didn't see it.
And this brought home to them how they were at fault and they didn't have unity and everything, so that they did tshuva and
was it
stood behind.
But it didn't. It didn't do the trick.
Feel more like it was.
Like it was their doing. Yeah. Okay. Could be. Yeah. Okay. That's for a different discussion. So. But the next step in this is, so Hashem has it happen with Yosef. As we said before, Yosef has a representative golus. But Yosef is also the one to lead them into Mitzrayim. Why is that? Right, Yosef, in a sense, is a positive chapter. So he says that the thing is like this. What is Mitzrayim defined by? Chaymer. Very good. Physicality. Utter drowning in physicality, and specific physicality, right, what is the ultimate expression of physicality is zima, is immorality. They were shtufei zima, that's what they're called. They're called awash in immorality. When Avraham Avinu went down to Mitzrayim, he was most worried about his beautiful wife. Paro, when he tells Avraham Avinu, he says, leave here, because the people around here are shtufei zima, they're completely awash in lust. That's the way they were. When Lot came out of Mitzrayim with Avraham Avinu, and Lot was clearly affected by Mitzrayim, where Avraham Avinu was not, what happened? He wanted to go to Vegas. He wanted to go to Sodom. Why? So the Gemara darshans the pasuk where he looked out at Sodom. It wasn't the economic prosperity of Sodom. It wasn't the wonderful agricultural of Sodom. It was the shtufei zima of Sodom. Every phrase in the pasuk, the Gemara Darshans, is associated with zima, with immorality. Right? What Sodom has next to it in the dictionary, that's what he wanted. Because he came from a place of shtufei zima. And therefore he got infected with the shtufei zima, with the immorality virus. And he wanted to go to a place where it would have further expression. Kigan Hashem Keretz Mitzrayim. Sodom is called like Eretz Mitzrayim. So Yosef comes down to Mitzrayim. And what's Yosef? Well, first of all, Avraham Avinu goes down to Mitzrayim. What's Avraham Avinu? Avraham Avinu is Lachnisei Bebrisei Shel Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu is perfect morality. That's the part of the character of Avraham Avinu. The Bris Mila, the mitzvah that we have, that charges us with morality in that area, because it becomes our first object of a mitzvah in our life, is the organ of sexuality, is Avraham Avinu. And that's why Avraham Avinu, you know, and Sarah, they come out of Mitzrayim. But who else is associated with that power? Is Yosef. Why do we call him Yosef HaTzadik? Yosef HaTzadik. It's not Reuven HaTzadik, it's not Yehuda HaTzadik. Yosef HaTzadik, the Tzadik Yosef. And by the way, you know, if you didn't grow up or have that expression drummed into you for years, you would be surprised if I would say, you know, just tell somebody the whole Bible, all the biblical narratives, and say, okay, who do you want to call the Tzadik? Right? When we think of the Tzadik, we think of the fellow, you know, the Lamed Vavnik, you know, sitting huddled in his hovel, right, saying Tillim and learning Torah. Yosef was the cosmopolitan. Right? Yosef's uniqueness was that he was out there, he was the king of Mitzrayim, he was, you know, farming and wealth and everything else. All the other Jews are living in the ghetto in Goshen, but Yosef is there in the middle of Mitzrayim. You wouldn't see him as Yosef HaTzadik, but he's called a Tzadik for one reason, and that is Tzadik Yisoid Olam. Tzadik, the foundation of the world, the Mida, the characteristic of Yisoid, which is one of the spheres, one of the seven Midos. The Mida of Yisoid is the Mida of Shmiras Habris, of the maintenance of the integrity in the sexual realm. That's what it's about. And that's to whom the term tzaddik is applied. And Yosef HaTzaddik had the ultimate challenge in the form of the wife of Potiphar. Yosef's Shalom Aleichem to Mitzrayim, which ultimately would distinguish him, threw him into jail, right, by the Mitzrayim. But what distinguished him would be is Yosef in Mitzrayim getting swallowed up in Mitzrayim in the Zima. It wasn't a coincidence that he had this particular test. This is the Mitzrayim test. And for Yosef to be in Mitzrayim and to rule over Mitzrayim and to be able to take out of Mitzrayim without getting swallowed up in Mitzrayim, the test would be the Zima test. And the reason why, in general, we would see that later, that's what we're going to read in the Torah in a few weeks in Parshas Pinchas, that the nation said, how could you guys have been in Mitzrayim under the Mitzrayim all that time and you claim to have your yichus, your ancestry intact? Give me a break. But it was. Right? Jewish people did a lot of things in Mitzrayim, but one thing they didn't do was Zima. They didn't become awash in the immorality of Mitzrayim. Says the Maharal, Yosef HaTzadik was the one who was roy to chart the path of the Jewish people into Mitzrayim, because Yosef is kadosh v'nivdal min ha'arayis. By a feizu rei adav, Yosef holding himself back from the wife of Potiphar. That's why Yosef was the king, the opposite of Chaimer. What's the opposite of Chaimer? Of matter is tzura. Tzura is something which gives direction, which gives form. A melech, as we've learned before, is the ultimate expression of tzura, the ultimate expression of not matter. The king, to the king, the whole country is the matter that he forms and directs and structures. That's his job. The one who is awash in Zima is just drawn by physical desire without clear direction. Just pulled by where the Chaimer wants to pull him. The person who's Shailet goes, lets the Chaimer go only where he wants it to go. That's the power of Yosef HaTzadik. And that's why Yosef is the first one, the one to go and to lead us into Mitzrayim and to become the king over Mitzrayim. That's what Yosef has to do. That's Yosef's role. Hatzura, hapeil, v'hamaylech. V'achemer meshub betachas hatzura. V'kacha Yosef meshal Mitzrayim, shu haya kodesh v'anivdol mipchusas hachemer. That's the story. Asks the Maharal, but then why did he have to go through all that stuff before he became the king of Mitzrayim? Why didn't he come straight down, go straight to become king, do not pass gold, do not collect $200? Why did he have to go through all of this? Says the Maharal, the way it works is that you have to grow into tzura. Tzura doesn't come right away. When a person is born, they're all physical. They're all just go after what their body calls them. The baby cries at night for food. You become a bar mitzvah. You cross a certain threshold of das, of where your mind decides, not your physicality decides. And so Bnei Yisrael had to go through a maturation process. They didn't become the kings of Mitzrayim right away. They had to grow into it. Yosef had to grow into it. And ultimately the Jewish people also would have to grow into it. It doesn't happen right away. Klal Yisrael has to develop to reach the point of Tzura where they would be able to rule over Mitzrayim. That's what this is, his explanation of this thing. So again, in this perek, his goal is dealing with defining, so how did the Jewish people go down to Mitzrayim? And of course they went down to Mitzrayim through the story of Yosef. So he explained first the Medrash that says that Hashem wanted to do this because this way Klal Yisrael went down, Yavin went down in indignity, and Hashem is ultimately concerned with the dignity of Bnei Bechari, of his favorite son, of his Bechar, his firstborn. And secondly, that he wanted him to go down in a way where it was clear that Hashem was bringing him down to Mitzrayim. It would all be with Gilui Shechina, which of course the story of Yosef made manifestly clear. And then he's speaking here about, and why was it through Yosef? Because Yosef would be that persona of the king, because he controls his physicality. That's the role of a king, that's the contrast, that's the one who can rule over Mitzrayim. I'll pause for questions or comments before we look at the last section of this Perek of the Maral. Any questions or comments? Yeah.
We slipped when we were by Midian. We're already in the Midbar.
We slipped. Absolutely. We slipped with Bnei Smayav, with Midian in Arayas. And that exactly was the Eitzah of Bilam. Bilam, who was the advisor in Mitzrayim and said that you should enslave the Jewish people, and so on and so forth, and he failed there, right? So then he tried to curse the Jewish people and he failed with that, and then ultimately he said, I can tell you what will work. Elokeihem shel elu soinei zima. The God of the Jewish people despises zima. He despises immorality, sexual immorality. So therefore, let's try to seduce them. And they were successful.
It's time to get Satan.
They were successful. Elokeihem shel elu soinei zima. He hates zima. Right? That's what we were talking about. We were talking about it last week, the Parsha Saita. Misha rabu ha-menoafim. Hashem hates zima. And therefore, when the Jewish people care about zima, they care about immorality, he creates a parsha unique in the Torah that has a built-in miracle that we read yesterday to make sure to preserve the integrity of Jewish marriages, the Saita parsha, which is built on a miracle. It's a halacha built on a miracle. Do you have another case like that in the Torah?
What is that again?
That they give the sota to drink, and if she was unfaithful, she pops. Sota pop. Right, so like, well, how do you have such a thing? So in fact, when Misha Rabu Amenofim, when Jewish people stopped caring about morality, so then Batlu Mayim Amorim, they stopped giving the Mayim Amorim. Rabbi Yechman Zakkai around the Churban Abayis, Hashem hates immorality. Hashem hates immorality. When people make a big thing today about the immorality and trying to guard the Jewish people from getting stuck in it live or via live streaming, right, there's a reason for that. Right, the morality, the sexual integrity of the Jewish people is critical. Not much critical. And Hashem sent us into Golus, into a place where it was the worst. And Klal Yisrael was able to preserve that.
By the way, the conservative movement officially passed the gay marriage
thing. The Teda Oid. Yeah, I'm sorry, anything else?
When we started the parak and we had the membership, Yosef was Maramis, to Yaakov that it was all Yad Hashem. And Yosef understood it. I was thinking, well, Yosef says explicitly to the brothers, it's Yad Hashem. Now, why are you asking him on this? While we were in the triumph, there was that idea. Some people had a chance to do this. And even talking to
me.
Put yourself in the brother's position. Why would you want to believe him? When you think that you're all equal, or the before should be Reuven, or certainly not Yosef, that he's telling them when he's a kid, I'm going to rule over you, and they're supposed to be equal. Why would they think that's the other chef?
Well, you want to believe that it's not your fault.
Hmm?
I see their position.
They might want to believe it's not your fault, but they couldn't.
It's
still their fault.
How they weren't Makabal, why they're Makabal, we could speculate. That they weren't Makabal, I don't think we can speculate. I think the Pesukim are clear that they weren't Makabal. Okay. So I want to do just one more piece here. And this piece is parallel, has its parallel. The honest truth is I didn't have a chance to review it. Just remember, I brought it, but I didn't have a chance to review it. I just remember that in the Gur Aryeh, the Maral speaks about this same thing in Parshas Vayeshev. And he says there's one more step about how we came down to Mitzrayim through the story of Yosef. And that is that the brothers, what does the Pasuk say? He sold them to the Yishmaelim. They saw an Orchas Yishmaelim. They saw a caravan of Yishmaelim coming, Ishmaelites. And then it says, and the Seichrim, the merchants came by. And then it says that the Jewish people sold them to the Midianim, right? What does the Pasuk say? They see there's Erechus Yishmaelim, but sell them to Yishmaelim. Vayavru anashim Midianim Seicharim. So Midianim Seicharim came. And they did it. And they sold Yosef to the Yishmaelim Esrim Kesef. And so on and so forth. And then later it says the Midianim sold him to Paitifar Svizpare Sarat Habachim. So the Medrash says, it's very confusing, who was involved in the sale? Yishmaelim, Seicharim, Midianim, says the Medrash, Mbreishis Rabbah, Kama Ainiyais Nichtivu Olav, how many shtaris, how many contracts were written over Yosef HaTzadik? Rav Yudan said, Arba, four. The brothers sold to Yishmaelim, the Yishmaelim sold it to Seicharim, to merchants, the merchants sold it to Midianim, and the Midianim sold them to Mitzrayim, to Potiphar. Rav Huna said five. The Midianim, after that, they sold it to Demusia Shal Medina. They sold it to sort of like the government. And then from the government, he was sold to Potiphar. So what does this mean? What is all this? So the Maral says something very beautiful. That he says, Yosef was going from Klal Yisrael to be a Mitzrayim. So he went in stages. He didn't go shock from being a member of Klal Yisrael, part of the Shvatim, to going down to being Meshuvad, enslaved in Mitzrayim. But it went in stages. And what are the stages? Stage number one is, he goes to Yishmael. Yishmael, who's Yishmael come from? He comes from Avram Avinu, from the Jewish people, and from Mitzrayim. Right? Isn't that great? So, the bridge between Yosef being in Klal Yisrael and and being in Mitzrayim is the Yishmael, because Yishmael is between the Jewish people and Mitzrayim. So that's step one. And Yishmael, you know, is pretty close to Yisrael. He's a child which Avraham Avinu had originally to be his child. Avraham Avinu had other children, including Midian. Midian is also a child of Avraham Avinu, which we're going to learn about later. He was from the B'nai Keturah. But the Midian he had after Sarah died, he went and married Keturah, which Chazal say was Hagar from Mitzrayim, and he married her originally knowing these children are not going to be my children. Yitzchak is the one. Yitzchak was around already. When he had Yishmael, Yishmael was a pretender to the throne. Yishmael was going to be part. And Yishmael has much more of a claim. When Ya'avram Avinu died, it says Yishmael and Yitzchak, Yitzchak and Yishmael buried him. It doesn't say that Midian and Ephah and Epher buried him. The other people didn't, only Yishmael. Because Yishmael was much more in the house of Avram. Midian was also. So Midian is a step along the line. However, it didn't go straight from Yishmael to Midian, it goes from Yishmael to the Seichrim. And what's the idea? So the way he explains is that many times in the Gemara you find that the term Seichrim, Taya, is referring to Yishmael. There's such a thing as that they go and they are merchants. And the idea is that when you sold them to Yishmael, Yishmael himself, as such, is a private citizen, so he's his. And he's his, he's a little bit still within the family. But when you give it to the Seichrim of Yishmael, the Seichrim aren't keeping it. The Seichrim are there to sell it. So that's a further step. They're still in the hands of Yishmael, but for commercial purposes, a step out. And then it goes to the Midianim. And the Midianim are also descendants of Avram and of Mitzrayim, but they're further away from Israel, therefore closer to Mitzrayim, as we mentioned before. And from Midian he went to Mitzrayim. So it happened in stages. And Rav Huna adds a fifth stage. And the Maral says something very profound in explaining the fifth stage. What's the fifth stage? The fifth stage is that he got sold to the government of Mitzrayim. And then the government of Mitzrayim gave it to Potiphar. So he says there are two things that make being sold to the government of Mitzrayim a gradual move into Avdus instead of an immediate move into Avdus. First of all, a person who works for the government is not necessarily a slave. Oiskim b'tzarchei tzibur, working for the people, is sometimes a high madreg. It's considered a positive thing, a great level. And secondly, when you're working for a group of people, you're not such a slave. When you're responsible to one person, then you're meshubah to him. Understand what's why you call Yisrael? We don't have shituf. For us, it's Hashem Echad. Because we are so bound up in our bondage to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's only because Hashem is the one and only. But the nations of the world, they'll worship Hashem and the stars, they'll worship Hashem and the Holy Ghost and everything else, because that means they have really no connection, no serious, firm connection. But here, of course, that's a negative. When Avraham Avinu gets sold to be the private property of when Yosef gets sold to be the private property of Potiphar, then he's really a slave. But before he's a slave, he's just a public servant. And a public servant, again, sometimes it's a compliment, and a public servant doesn't do any work. You know, he's not mishubit, right? Too many bosses, right? So he doesn't know, he certainly doesn't work past 9 to 5, right? That's the way it works. A real shibud is to one. Says the Maral, that's the idea. HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not brought the Jewish people down to Mitzrayim very carefully. Even Yosef, Madreigas Eilu Ayyetz Yosef Mishus Yaakov Lias Meshabdim Le'amitz Mashem Shom Kachem Al Yosef Shadik Shalom Yaakov. This is the steps and the stages that they had to go through in order to get Yosef from the Igra Rama, from the high rooftop of being a son of Yaakov, to the Bira Mikta, to the deep pit of being a slave in Mitzrayim. This is the basic ideas that he discusses in Perkei Beis. And Mirtz Hashem, we will continue next time with Perek Yud Gimel. I will just note that I will not be here Mirtz Hashem next Sunday, so we will resume this shiur the following week.
Yosef's descent was exactly what happened to Jewish people. They followed him. They went to high, to lower, 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 right? Mm-hmm. Gradual enslavement.
Yes.
So he kind of put the blueprint down.
Mm-hmm.
It happened in Nazi Germany. It was a gradual descent.
Yes. And it's sometimes the way a government will do it, right?
Salami,
that's
slicing,
the way they do it. Slowly, what? Huh?
Salami slicing.
Right.
One thing at a time. But
right. First they hire them, then they didn't pay them. You know, gradual. That's the way they win the nation over, so to speak. However, HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the Shvatim didn't have to do that. They could have just sold them straight to the Ishmaelim. straight to the Mitzrayim, or straight to, you know, someone who was taking down the Mitzrayim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'hashkachasai, even when people are don't have the constraints and choose to do it that way themselves, Hashem made it that the Jewish people went in such a graduated form.